Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Matt Lieb here with an exciting announcement before this episode of Not Pod Yourself, The Wire. The announcement is this. Number one, I guess it's a couple announcements. The first announcement is Pod Yourself, The Wire is going to start coming back next fucking week. First for the Patreon. I'm sorry, but of course. And then a week after that for, the rest of you freeloaders. So that's very exciting news for all of you. So sorry about the wait. It hasn't, been that long, but it's been a while. I recognize that. And we have a lot of exciting guests who are going to be stopping by and recording some episodes with us. And so I think you're going to love it. It's going to be a fun season. It's going to be the last season of The Wire. And then, we got to fucking figure out what to do next. So we'll hopefully figure that out soon. And probably during the course of the season, we will decide and then we will announce. But yeah, letting you know that. Also letting you know, number two, this show, Bad Hasbara, of which I am about to release an episode for y'all to listen to. For those of you who don't know, this show has its own feed that exists. You can listen to it anywhere. Just type in Bad Hasbara into your fucking, podcast app and find it, and you can subscribe to it. I'm posting them in this feed because, I want to give you guys the content that you so crave, and you've all been such patient piggies, and I thank you so much for being patient. And for those of you who like this show, please subscribe to it separately on its own feed. It's a great show. It's a lot of fun. It's a show that I very much enjoy doing, and it is a show that I think for me is cathartic. I have fun talking shit, and so if you like it and you want to keep hearing it, please go to your local podcast dealership and sign up, by which I mean subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and do that post haste. Finally, I also want to say we will be continuing to do the broadcast on the Patreon feed, and so if you are someone who is not yet signed up to be a subscriber, do it now. Patreon.com/frogcast. Sign up for that, and you get Pod Yourself a Gun early. You get the Frogcast, and you get Bad Hasbara. All of it in one spot, one feed to rule them all, and in the darkness bind them. You know what I mean? Lord of the Rings. I'm not going to start a Lord of the Rings podcast. I have too many fucking podcasts. But yeah, so go to patreon.com/frogcast, sign up. When you do that, what you get is everything. You get all the shows. You get every show that we do. And, who can say no to that? It's all them shows. But yeah, so do that. And thank you so much for, all your support. And thank you to all the people out there with the positive feedback. I've yet to have someone DM me to say, stop doing the Israel show or whatnot. I've had a couple of people do that, but for the most part, people seem to be listening to it and liking it, and it's very fun watching the fraught crowd join in on it and have fun with it. And it's fun to have people want to watch TV or listen to TV rewatch podcasts, listen to it and, decide that they enjoy it as well. And of course, if you don't enjoy it, that's fine. You don't even have to fucking listen to it because it's going to be on a separate feed. But do that, subscribe, all that shit. All right. Here is episode 6 of Bad Hasbara with returning Bad Hasbara champion Daniel Mate. This episode is called The Irony Dome. Enjoy!
Jumpers or intros, microchips plus, iPhone cameras plus, taco salad plus, bulldog us, olive garden us, white puffer us, Sabra Hamas, as far as us.
Welcome to Bad Hasbara, the world's most moral podcast. I am your host, Matt Lieb. So excited to take you through the latest and greatest of Israeli propaganda. We're talking about memes. We're talking about video content. We're talking about people deciding that women with purple hair are somehow an avatar for Hamas. We're talking about all that good stuff. And I thank you for joining us. Just want to remind you to give us 5 stars and a review on all of the, podcast apps that you may or may not have. Apple Podcast Store, you can do it there. You can do it on Spotify. Also, if you're watching this, instead of merely listening, I thank you. But just a reminder, all of this content on YouTube is essentially non-monetizable. Not only because I use copyrighted material, but because I say, like, fuck a lot and stuff. Apparently, you're not allowed to do that, apparently. There's all sorts of rules and stuff like that. And if you're like, hey, you know, I like this podcast and I must watch it. Cool. That's fine. But maybe consider, doing one of them super, super chat things or whatever. He's like, you can give me $1 and be like, good show. I love that. I love dollars. Also, feel free to go to patreon.com/frogcast. You will get this show as well as a bunch of other shows, and you'll be able to hear them all ad-free, which is nice. Today, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, back by popular demand, one of the greatest guests in the history of Bad Hasbara, a podcast which is only happened 6 times. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone else, our guest today is Daniel Mate. Oh, let me add him to the... Yeah, there it is. What's up?
Oh, you sure bowed a popular demand pretty easily.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, it's not going to take much to take me down.
Right.
You know what
you're
I mean?
You're training our audience to, that they can just push you around and make
they
demands
can.
Of you. And this, I feel like... This is like, this could come back to bite you.
I really could. You know, usually I ignore the piggies. I tell the piggies, like, eat your slop, enjoy your slop. You know, you don't get to tell the farmer what kind of slop you're getting. You know what I mean?
Because deep down, they're in it for the shame and the humiliation. You got to.
Of course.
You got to talk to them that way. Yeah.
That is why you listen to podcasts. You listen to podcasts because you are an oinking little hog and you just want to. Stick your nose in the content trough and go, num, 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 num. And I want to point out to any of my new audience who's like, what the fuck? I consider everyone a piggy. I'm a piggy, but I'm a piggy for like The Wire, you know, or for The Sopranos. We're all piggies for our content slop. But I'm just saying, usually I don't. I say, hey, you know, eat the slop. In this case, their preferences for slop and my preferences aligned. I was like, of course, I would love to have Daniel back. Daniel's one of my favorite people. And, he is one of the few people who has ever graced the inside of the Lieb Fiorentini studio here in Los Angeles. So, of course, I would have you back.
I achieved full penetration. I'm not sure if it's going to feel quite the same with this level of geographic protection between us, you know?
I know. I thought the same thing. I was like, it's just like, this is just such a thick condom, you know? We're talking thousands of miles.
There's more imagination to it. We can fill in the
blanks. Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
It's great to be back. Thank you for having me, Matt. This is such a nice surprise to be asked back so soon. It was absolutely my favorite media hit, if that's a term that people use.
I think that is a term.
Yeah, when they do way too much media. That I've done, and so it's just a delight to be back in your space today, virtually or not.
Oh, I love it. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're here. You know, we had a great time talking about stuff last time, and this time I expect no different. Although this time, because we are in two separate rooms, I imagine I will have a chance to play some of my favorite Israeli Hasbara. So, you know, I hope you're excited. Because this is, I do research. And by do research, I just surf Twitter and Instagram for hours on end, just hoping to see something that makes me feel again.
I can tell by the palpating in my colon that I must be excited.
Yeah, you can feel the pulsating sphincter. You're just like, ooh, wow, why just, am I?
Wow, that. Anticipation of what I'm in for.
Today we're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff. I want to start out with, you know, Daniel, you and I are people who enjoy making some like little funny videos online, you know, talking about Palestine, talking about
keeping it light,
you know, And trying to, you know, bring awareness to the fact that Israel is currently doing a genocide in Gaza. But did you know that there are also comedians out there who are doing the same thing, but are doing it in favor of the current genocide that is going on?
Are you perhaps speaking about, and we have not prepared this at all, I have no idea what you're going to blame me, but are you perhaps speaking to me about the Middle East's finest sketch comedy program, Eretz Nehederet?
I mean, that is half of what I'm talking about. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, that actually very much relates to this. But I'm looking at an American version of this. I'm speaking of a TikTok superstar named Daniel Ryan Spalding, who I had not heard of until, you know, recent events. And
I'm sorry, Ryan Spalding?
Daniel Ryan Spalding.
Ryan Spalding. I thought you were talking about, it sounded like some kind of obscure and very non-Jewish Austrian dessert wine, like Ryan Spalding.
It's a Ryan Spalding. I think it's a 33.
that was a very good year for the
great
Rhine.
Year. Yeah. We love
so
that.
So many wonderful flavors tossed in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of, I just have a lot of nostalgia for that year. I don't really know why, but this Rhine Spalding I drink, tastes a little bloody. No, but this is a comedian who I had not heard of before. And he does like, I don't know how you would categorize it, but I would say, he calls himself a power gay, which cool. And he does kind of like sort of similar to you. He's kind of like the bizarro world you in terms of he does walk and talk videos. But they are, let me just introduce you to him. He's an interesting guy. So
you have my attention if he's stealing my gimmick.
Yes, yes. But he's making it fabulous.
All right. Oshing is a term that angry, jealous, purple-haired girls like to throw around anytime fabulous gay guys get along with Jews. Call me crazy, but I'd rather be at a circuit party in Tel Aviv getting head than in the Gaza Strip getting beheaded. I love my Jewish friends, and I love my Israeli friends, and I'm going to remind them of that every single day, and there's not one goddamn thing you can do about it. You're in the streets ripping down posters of
I'm sorry. Can we start with no one's trying to do anything about that? You can tell your Jewish friends and your Israeli friends you love them all day. No one is stopping you from doing that.
Girl, it's giving protesting too much.
Yeah, yeah.
not protesting. No. Protesting too much. Funny when you say protesting, it sounds like being out in the street with signs. When you say protesting, it sounds like the way Shakespeare meant it.
Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about the English language.
Jewish babies in your little Yasser Arafat scarves doing your little.
Oh, hold on. Yes, he puts the Yas in Yasser Arafat.
He did Yasser Arafat. That's amazing.
Jane cosplay. I'm a gay guy. I know that if I'm going down, I'm going down with the Jews. That's how it works. First they come for the Jews, then they come for the gays.
That's not how it works. That is not how that poem works, literally at all. But go ahead.
Right. Wouldn't the joke be, I'm a gay guy, so I know if I'm going down, I'm going down on the Jews.
Yeah, that's. Part of me was like, I think he meant that, decided to instead make a worse point, which is that the only reason that I'm standing with the Jews is because the gays are next and. Fair enough. Sure.
Well, memo to Ms. Ryan Spalding. Don't let a couple of straight Ashkenazi Jewish guys outsass you.
Yes, please don't.
They had the Star of David. We had the pink triangle. But that doesn't matter to you purple-haired Hamas lovers, does it? Because you're not actually gay? Something tells me if they started targeting my people, your purple hair would turn brown pretty fucking fast.
Oh man, there's just so he's. I mean, listen, he's doing a lot here. He's doing a lot. One of the things he's doing, saying you're not actually gay, which I assume that feels like a specific gripe. Like he knows a purple. I think he knows a purple-haired girl who yelled at him once. That's what it feels.
Yeah,
like.
Maybe, or maybe he's just taking Biden's cue. Like you ain't black.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going in that same direction. Which, we can all be honest that is only like 3 degrees away from a full turf pivot, you know? Like, this person is very soon going to be like, also, trans are not real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he could have done better with that joke. With that purple to brown hair joke, I feel like something about like if you were living in Gaza, you know, the blockade would prevent your purple hair color from
hair
getting in,
from
and your hair would go brown, and then you wouldn't be so radical, would you?
Yeah, why do they call it the Gaza Strip when you can't even go to a strip club? You know,
when you can't even take off your hijab.
Yeah. You know why I like Israelis? Because I like giving Iron Dome, you know? There we go. We're having a little fun. You know, it brings to mind this thing that, and you mentioned the Israeli sketch comedy show. Like there is this focus that I only have, but previous to Israel, you know, making this kind of content, I'd only seen the purple-haired girl's avatar for All Things We Hate from like the Babylon Bee. You know what I mean? Right. Like that was their main avatar. Like, let's get a bisexual. We need to hate women and gays at the same time, and that's college right, yeah. students and anyone who. You know, it seems vaguely Marxist. So they just have this purple-haired girl. And it is something that he continues doing with a just a delightful video he made on TikTok recently in which he is talking to himself. And
here it is. An apartheid state.
Hi, I'm Mr. Daniel. And this is my friend, the purple-haired girl. She's not a bad person, but she's been radicalized to become a raging Jew hater, and we want to help her.
I don't need your Zionist help. I just want a free Palestine from Israeli apartheid.
Do you know what apartheid means, purple-haired girl?
Yeah, it means two different sets of laws for different races.
That's right, purple-haired girl, but Israel doesn't have apartheid. 20% of Israel is Arab. Muslim and Christian, and they have full equal rights of citizenship. Mm-hmm. They can vote, hold office in the Supreme Court, own land, mm-hmm. every right a Jewish citizen has. There's also wow. Druze people and Bedouins. They're Israeli too, with full rights of citizenship. Israel is a multicultural society.
Can you pause it for a second?
Yes.
So a couple of things. I love that when he drops the sort of sassy queen thing, you can just see how miserable he is. Like when yeah. he drops the big eyes and the smile.
Yes.
Like when he's just giving the facts, he's really, really not happy. Like he's
no.
This,
yeah.
this is like a burden for him to like have to carry this out.
100%. Yeah. It's funny because you rarely see this much of a change in character. Like this is supposed to be like a sarcastic guy, whereas before it was what he's described as a power gay, you know, just walking fucking, you know, like he's walking down a runway, just spouting Israeli propaganda.
No, he's like the token. He's like the token gay hire at Hasbara Inc. And he yeah. like doesn't have a. He has a shitty, doesn't even have a corner office and doesn't even get to write his own material. Like some straight guy wrote this for him. And it's like, he's like Randy Rainbow after some kind, after Birthright. Like,
yes. Yes. You know? Yeah. He's like a radicalized Randy Rainbow.
but he's also not Jewish. So he doesn't get to be, he was yeah. like, he was the gay Christian guy who got to tag along on Birthright. So, mm-hmm. and it was like, pretty homophobic space probably.
Yeah. So yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He
yeah,
had a
yeah.
miserable time, but now he's like contracted to.
Yeah. You know. Well, I mean, you know, it's when you get that sweet, sweet content engagement, you know, we've all admitted it's hard not to love it. It's hard not to feel, you know, that, that oxytocin hit once you get that like, but there is a bit of like, When I see it with this kind of content, I'm always just like, this is like money went into this. You know what yeah. I mean? So
that sweater vest at the very least, or that cardigan.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean look, that is you can tell.
That's at least what, $75 used.
Oh, at least that is not even. I mean, like,
and Yeah, and he doesn't even get to keep it. He can't take that home.
No,
wardrobe will tell him, fuck off. We're keeping it for the next sassy gay Zionist video.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Palestinians in Gaza.
Well, purple hair girl, Israel can't give them rights.
They don't yeah. live in Israel.
Yeah, yeah. That's it would be impossible. What I love about this argument, I mean, you know, and if, for anyone who already knows this, forgive me for... you know, telling you what you already know, but just the idea that we're now at the, I mean, listen, at this stage in Hasbara, they have to have something new and they don't. It's the same shit I've heard my whole life, which is like, no, but Gaza is its own state. You know, the West Bank, they have a government there. Israel can't
and we
just.
Left,
yeah,
we left
right.
Gaza in 2005.
Yes, yes, the same fucking bullshit.
They burned the greenhouses. They totally misdecorated the place. They just made it hideous.
Yeah, they.
What
yeah,
can
first
you do
all,
with these people? You try
yeah,
to.
They don't even know about feng shui.
In Israel, it's like saying, why doesn't the U.S. give Mexicans rights? It's because yeah. they don't live in the U.S. Mm. Israel withdrew completely from Gaza in 2005, even evicting Jewish Israelis from their homes. So mm-hmm. Palestinians in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just read you a little something here?
Please.
So they love to say this about how Israel withdrew completely in 2005. They gave them mm-hmm. full sovereignty. It's complete and total horseshit. Number one, it's true that they removed, I think, 8,000 Jewish settlers from Gaza, and they proceeded to install 12,000 new ones in the West Bank. And it was completely understood that this was a redeployment, not really a withdrawal. Mm-hmm. Here is a quote from a book by an Israeli historian and an Israeli journalist, Edith Zertal and Akiva Eldar, respectively. Mm-hmm. They have a book called Lords of the Land, and they wrote that Israel's 2005 disengagement from Gaza did not, quote, release Gaza for even a single day from Israel's military grip or from the price of the occupation that its inhabitants pay every day, end quote. When it removed its settlers in Gaza, quote, Israel left behind scorched earth, devastated services, and people with neither a present nor a future. The settlements were destroyed in an ungenerous move by an unenlightened occupier, which in fact continues to control the territory and kill and harass its inhabitants by means of its formidable military might. And that, Mr. Reinspalding, is called effective control, which is, it amounts to the same thing as military occupation under mm-hmm. international law. You can occupy a land by having your people in it, or you can occupy the concentration camp from the outside. Still, mm-hmm. you control the borders, you control who gets in, you control who gets out, you control what gets in and gets out, from everything from chocolate to potato chips to baby chickens, which Israel outlawed at various times. You control the flow of food to the point where Israel was calculating the daily number of calories that Palestinians could just subsist on.
That's right.
You control the airspace because you bombed the airport. You control the waterways. You control everything. And that, my friend, is not analogous, as much power as the U.S. does wield over Mexico. That's not at all analogous to the U.S. granting Mexicans rights or something, because Mexico is a state, and its state, mm-hmm. its citizens have ostensibly the right to be free and to vote in their own government. So these analogies for the purple-haired girl fall apart on immediate impact. And I would love to get the purple girl in a room to just let her know she's not crazy.
I know.
She's just a badly written, badly played character by the same asshole.
I know. Hey, Vince.
Hey, Matt.
As you know, Vince, I love old internet memes. Remember the early internet's obsession with Chuck Norris jokes?
I do remember that.
Here's one. When Chuck Norris went to college, he told his father, "Now you're the man of the house."
Why do you bring this up?
Well, I was thinking about those old memes, and I started thinking, I wonder what Chuck Norris is doing right now. What has he been up to?
You know, I actually know the answer to that, Matt. Yeah, I recently saw a health video he made, and I was surprised. He's in his 80s. And he still seems to have energy and health.
You know, I saw the very same video, Vince, and in it he says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition.
That's almost too powerful to contemplate, but yes. It's true. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has energy all day.
I am way younger than them, and I have energy for about 2 hours a day. And the problem is, you know, that many of us do not include fruits and vegetables and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. Chuck Norris made a special video that explains how he incorporated these things with one simple product.
I love special videos, and you can watch it too by going to mymorningkick.com/podyourself, and it may change your approach to your own health.
Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/podyourself, mymorningkick.com/podyourself. Go there now and watch this very special Chuck Norris video.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Really want to like take purple haired girl aside and be like, you're doing great. You know, I understand that you're currently the body that you're inhabiting right now is that of an ignorant Zionist sociopath. But I want you to know, keep going, keep reading,
keep going,
keep doing everything that you're doing, because don't let this guy, you know, who is you 90% of the time. Don't let him take over. You're doing great.
And eventually, one day, you know, the marionette will kill the puppeteer. You kill your master.
That's right.
She'll achieve full sentience. She'll be a free-floating phantasm when she'll develop a moral conscience and actually defeat the bad sketch artist, TikTok artist that created her.
Oh, I love that. Oh, yes. You know, I would say it's Mr. Hyde defeating Jekyll, but I kind of feel like, I mean, maybe I need to actually read that book to know whether or not Hyde was actually like based. Like, was Hyde actually the good guy and Dr. Jekyll the bad guy?
Yeah, I haven't read it either. I have it in my car, but I still haven't read it. it looks like Mr. Reinspalding is in Brooklyn like me. So maybe him and I could do a walk and talk together sometimes. That would be fabulous.
They're leaders of Ford.
I would love to watch you guys walk and talk at the same time. If you ever catch him on the street making videos, you need to start walking next to him and just doing the exact same thing. Oh, yes.
Sashay with Daniel.
Yes.
But everybody says that it's a part-time.
No, hold on. Don't listen to
propaganda by a terrorist organization called Hamas.
Called the UN, called Amnesty International, called Human Rights Watch, called B'Tselem. Like, what the fuck? No, yeah,
the Israeli Human Rights Organization, B'Tselem, that has recently put out a report, I think 2018.
That's right.
Called Israel's dominion over both 48 Israel mm-hmm. and occupied Palestine, the West Bank and Gaza, a Jewish supremacy from the river to the sea.
Yes. Supremacy. Yes. Yes. Just like that is Hamas propaganda just rings so hollow at this point, because it's like, how many more human rights organizations do you need? It's like on one side you have every major human rights organization, and inside Israel and outside of Israel. And on the other side, you have what? Israel's PR department and the State Department. And like the, you know, whoever's handling Middle East diplomacy in Western nations. Those are the only people Israel's right.
Don't forget Micronesia, Palau, the Marshall Islands, all the tiny Pacific Island nations that are the only ones who vote with the U.S. and Israel every year to block a two-state settlement since the 1970s.
Oh, man. I love that, because it's just like, you know, it's just all this keeps reminding me of the Iraq war, when we had like the coalition of the willing, and it was just like, you know, states that were like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Palau. You know, I know it's in the ocean somewhere. Yeah, it is.
Do you think there's a Zionist podcast called Bad Hamaspara?
Oh, there should be. I would love to see our evil twins. I guess it would be us without our circle beards.
Yeah, you know, that's right. Yeah. Yeah,
they would be completely clean shaven, and they would just play videos of me and you and laugh because they are funny.
That uses people's lack of knowledge and anti-Semitic biases to spread misinformation.
They wouldn't lie to me.
Hamas would lie to you. They'd also gang rape you, behead you, burn you alive, mutilate and rape your dead body, and film it all and live stream it on Facebook to your family, because Hamas is a psychotic death cult that oppresses Israelis and Palestinians.
I'm purple.
Oof.
Wow.
That was so the punchline.
Yeah. Well,
I'll be honest, I never got to the ending.
That's quite a capper. I'm purple. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. I'm purple. Ha ha ha. I've never gotten to the end of that. Didn't know it ended with I'm purple. Ha ha ha. Which is, it's funny that that's like an ironic thing. Is it literally you? That you wrote it, you made her purple. You can't just be like, look at this idiot, you're the idiot, you wrote the fucking sketch.
Yeah, well, I mean, basically he's summing up, that's the extent of the joke. Like,
yeah,
like that is confessing that's really all he has on her. And and she's a woman, and the misogyny is very clearly very strong there. This sort of aggressive, you know, there's this particular strain of white, gay, male misogyny that I've seen a lot in the musical theater world.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in musical theater. I write musicals. Which is not to say that there isn't a large strain of white, straight male misogyny, which of course there is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
But, I mean, we invented it probably. But, yeah. but it's very strong in this video, this kind of, like, wanting to inhabit this, like, I don't know, wanting to do the drag thing, but just really kind of despising the character you're playing and having no insight into it.
Yeah, yeah. There's, like this hateful version of women that I think, you know, is displayed by a lot of like your white male gay men in, and this is like the Zionist version of that, where you just see someone who's just like, I don't see completely why your avatar like of, you know, Hamas supporting leftists or whatnot is just some woman, but I imagine it's the same reason that every single right-wing publication from like Daily Wire to Babylon Bee to Fox News to fucking all of them, that they do the exact same thing. That is who they hate. And they are a little less shy about the fact that it's because they find women annoying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they will just outwardly admit their misogyny, whereas he probably thinks he's good, which is one of the reasons that nothing pisses me off more than liberal Zionism. You know, listen, at least hard right Zionists know they're bad. You know?
Yeah, I don't exactly get liberal vibes from him. I mean, he could very well be a gay Republican for all I know.
He comes off as a gay Republican, but I had to guess, I would say very much so, you know, he is holds himself as, if not a liberal, someone who is just like a centrist realist who is, you know,
with progressive human,
correct.
Yeah, he's a pragmatic progressive or something like
that. Was like happy about
pragmatic
gay marriage getting passed and is mad that trans people are now taking the mic. You know,
I got very mine specific. Jack.
Yeah, I got mine. You are done. So listen, shout out to you know, Mr. Ryan Spaulding here. I will say that I went back into his history and found a little bit of an origin story as to why this, because like before this, he was just doing, you know, like walk and talk videos. He had a big weight loss journey, which I think is great. Good for him. And all that. And then now he just makes these like, I'm gay and not Jewish and love Israel. This is what I found as to why that's
woke
the case.
20-somethings who don't actually give a shit about anyone but themselves. I gained 12,000 Instagram followers overnight, and all I had to do was say that Hamas terrorism is wrong.
I mean, if you want to know the reasons for making that kind of pivot, that's one of them.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Is he being, is he actually confessing that he just did that in a craven way, or is he?
I mean, I believe he is trying to recruit others to do the same thing. And he's also somewhat bragging like, oh, you're going to hate Israel? Well, guess what? You're missing out on the followers, which I will say, shout out to anyone online who posts and reposts anything that is pro-Palestinian, because all y'all are the true heroes who make it possible to look at that video and go like, you know, you do get love for being someone with a conscience who loves Palestine. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like thinking of it in these terms, but it's just a fact that in these past 3 months, you know, there's a big, there's room. The world is wide enough, to quote a song from Hamilton, which I'm sure he loves. The world is wide enough for
Hamilton,
you know,
and
cowardly Zionist genocide deniers and fine, upstanding, you know, Jews like you and me holding up the best of our tradition.
That's
and
right.
Palestinians who are finally getting a voice in the discourse to all have a piece of the follower pie. And, you know, none of it matters because 25,000 people have died and Israel has gone entirely insane. But if you want to play the follower game, okay, do you.
I know. It's just like, you know, there's a shamelessness to starting your video out that way. And, you know, he did it pretty early on. So I like to imagine that at this point, if he were to rewatch that video, he'd be like, maybe I shouldn't start off with, I did this for clout. You know?
Well, this is the thing, though. It's like when wonderful comedic traditions get bastardized for the power centers,
yeah,
they become quite sinister. So camp, right? Camp is actually a very subversive style of comedy. I remember when I saw Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is one of my favorite musicals. I saw it off Broadway in the late 90s. And I didn't expect to like it because I was like, well, I'm not gay. I've never had a sex change operation. I'm not East German. You know, all of the identity categories of this character, right?
Right.
And this was sort of in the years before transgender discourse, what it was what it was now. So the whole premise of the show was German boy has a botched sex change operation, ends up German girl in America, out of place and all this kind of stuff. But I found myself weeping and laughing and relating to it so much because the camp of it was this lacerating wit that cut through hypocrisies and also cut through pain, personal pain. And it had vulnerability to it, but there was this barbed edge of self-protection, but so much self-loathing in the mix. And of course, as an Ashkenazi Jew, I completely agree with that and being betwixt in between and all of that. So this persona that, you know, gay performers and writers and artists have developed, and it's not a persona, it's a whole genre, it's a whole world, it's a whole ontology, has so much richness to it, and it's so humanizing. But then you take the surface elements of it, which is just sibilant S's, like certain kinds of snaps and like head movements, and like a certain kind of like crude sarcasm where you just mean the opposite of what you say, or you mean exactly what you say, but you're just saying it in this tone. And all of a sudden you've lost the spark of humanity in it. And now it's just a new flavor of fascism. It's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, at the end of the day, like, any of the reservations you had about not enjoying something end up being correct, because bad art is bad art. You know, I will say, of course, you know, it is more sinister to have bad art for speaking out in favor of fascism. But, you know, even if it's just, you know, completely apolitical, not funny.
Or worse, if it has the great politics, but it's not funny and it's bad. Oh, I hate that shit. That bad social justice, bad social justice art. It's tough.
I know. I know. It's you know, I support the message, but I'm always just like, just make it funny, please.
Yeah, it's like,
try.
Where's the craft, you know?
Exactly.
You and I are old school aesthetes, you know, we're old souls. We're not like these purple haired kids these days.
Not these purple haired kids these days with their woke mind virus and trying to, yeah. I want to, pivot real quick to, talking about, one of the, you know, biggest distributors of, Hasbara. That's Israel's Twitter account. Daniel, do you know they have a Twitter account?
I do. She's so cute. She's a 14-year-old girl. And she's like really not having it, you guys. Like she's really like she can't.
Yeah.
Like, she can't with this fundamentally.
Yeah, 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 exactly. She literally can't. And big yikes. But... Yeah, it is it's interesting because it kind of goes back and forth between like you know news clips of you know whoever their you know favorite Hasbarist is you know talking to Meet the Press or whatever and like some funny video like that sketch comedy show I wanted to talk about actually this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about bringing them home. This is something that I you know if you're anywhere in this world and you have at any point criticized Israel or at any point said that you would like them to not do a genocide, you will be inundated with people who go like, What about the hostages? Bring them home. Bring them home. It has been 100 days. And at this point, I don't know how it's possible for anyone who still says this to not feel deep shame and self-loathing. The only people at this point who are actually working towards freeing the hostages are people who are in the streets screaming for a ceasefire.
And the families of the hostages.
That's right.
Going to the Knesset and pleading with them to stop the madness.
Yes. And it is just to constantly see, even now, even today, the bring them home meme or hashtag being utilized by people in response to literally every single criticism, no matter how great or small, of how they're conducting their operations in Gaza. It's just like, it's sickening to a degree in which it almost feels like mocking. It almost feels like mocking, not of the thousands of dead Gazans, but of the literal families of victims of the Hamas terror attack that happened on the 7th. Like, these are people who want their family members back. They want them home. And as of today, I believe only, and I'll have to check to make sure, to see if maybe it's been updated. But last I checked, only one hostage was rescued in an operation by the IDF. One.
That's right. That's right.
That is it. And
it's not exactly Entebbe, is it?
No, it's not. It really isn't. And you know, it's funny when you search IDF hostage rescue, you know, trying to find, like, let me get this number here, because this is ostensibly the reason they went into Gaza. This is the reason for all of this. You just find articles about Entebbe over and over again. You just, and I'm like, no, now. I want to know now what is happening. Is there, do they have some fucking, you know, are the special forces going in there and freeing people? One, only one so far.
They definitely liberated three of them from this mortal coil.
From this mortal coil. Yes. They've murdered, I think at this point, five. They've admitted to five hostages who were killed by Israel. You know, we know of the three, the big ones, just the ones who literally escaped their captors, had banners that said, please, you know, help us. We are Israeli. Had their hands up and were still summarily executed.
At least they were waving white flags and they had their shirts off, so they weren't wearing suicide vests. And then, of course, there's however many hostages have been killed in the rubble. I mean, you talk about, you know, Netanyahu put out a tweet about murder tunnels. Well, okay, your hostages are being held in tunnels throughout this densely populated area, and you are, you know, dropping seismic levels of explosives and just obliterating everything. That's a great rescue operation.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you're not negotiating. Like, haven't these people seen a hostage movie? Have you not seen Dog Day Afternoon. Not Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah.
That's a different movie. You stupid fucking cunt.
You stupid. You see this watch?
Whoever told you that you could work with men? You see this watch?
Oh, yeah. But yeah, no.
I'm going to Lemkin. Sorry. Yeah. But Dog Day Afternoon and Die Hard, hostages, even the most psychotic, deranged ones, want something. That's what the hostages are for. It's leverage, which means you either play ball and negotiate. And it turns out Israel has what to negotiate in the form of Palestinian hostages in their torture dungeons, thousands of them, including women and children, kidnapped, nabbed from their beds with no charge, administrative detention, held for 6 months, renewable at a time, right? So you either do that or you deal with not doing that.
Right. Right. That's,
you don't
that,
pretend that you're
you don't
doing
pretend
it
that you're doing you... it by the mass bombing of Gaza. You don't pretend that, oh, that's what we're doing. And that I think is the most like sickening part of this is, you know, at some point, I think I just kind of assumed that they would drop the hostages pretext. Because, you know, you can't, like you said, you can't be like, they're holding our hostages in these tunnels, you know, and then cut to a video of them doing this mass explosion of a tunnel underground in Gaza, allegedly, and then just be like, so you don't give a shit.
You got your soldiers dancing the horror, singing, nothing will be alive under the ground. You know?
They got nothing translators there just chanting it back to them in English just in case you missed it.
American Sign Language interpreters.
It's in every language. But yeah, man. At this point, the vast, vast, vast majority, I believe upwards of 130 hostages who have been released, due to hostage exchange from ceasefires that they had. A ceasefire is how you bring them home. If you care about bringing them home, then that's what you do. And just the idea that anyone is still out there to this day. I mean, if you look at fucking Israel's, you know, Twitter page, like their fucking masthead is bring them home. It's still that.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised they haven't done a Les Mis style video with the song Bring Him Home. It's embarrassing, but a lot of people in the Broadway community right after October 7th, and I guess I can understand it in the immediate aftermath, although I cringed as hard as cringe can be because, you know, I'm in that world and I knew that it was going to skew very, very, very Zionist. But they did a big, you know, they met up in Times Square and sang Bring Him Home from Les Mis dedicated to the hostages. And by this point, of course, it was already clear what was either happening or going to happen. And they, you know, took a side and they sided, like with the Russia-Ukraine war, of course, you just side with whichever side our official enemy is against, the side that our friends are with. And we weep tears and we really mean it. You know, we're singing this musical theater anthem about freedom, but you know, we'd never sing, you know, Bring Them Home about Palestinian prisoners.
No, ever.
You know, we'd never go out and do a version of Rise Up from fucking Hamilton to be like, you know, when are these colonies going to rise up? You know, well, what about these settler colonies going to rise up? You know, so it's like, I've always found musical theater to be such a touchy, I'm sort of getting into my own.
No, here, please. I love this.
It's just such a it's such a powerful art form because it combines theatrical storytelling, drama with music, which means that combined, it can achieve some of the most transcendent, surreal, heightened effects. It can communicate things that can't be communicated by mere words alone. They say that once a character can no longer speak, they sing. And once they can no longer just sing, they have to dance. And that's what can happen in musical theater. So that's really cool. And if you have it in the hands of real humanist writers like Sheldon Harnick and Jerry Bock from Fiddler on the Roof, or Stephen Sondheim, who's a different kind of humanist, you can get into some really beautiful, complicated, and lovely just homages to what humanity is capable of, the good and the bad. But in the wrong hands, it's also the most emotionally manipulative, potentially fascist art form possible.
Yeah.
Because again, you're putting words with music. And when there's no clash between the words and the music, when it's just a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
When there's no complexity, and when you're using it then to advance a political agenda of the people who are already in power, it's an art form that I want to get far away from. So it's a strange thing to be a part of because I love it and I'm very, very sensitive to its misuse. So I'm surprised that Israel hasn't seized on that particular Les Mis song, Bring Him Home.
Yeah.
To do a stupid video of their own.
Yeah. I mean, I had the exact same critique, I think, of, stand-up comedy when it comes to its ability to use it for the sake of fascism, you know? And, it is, you know, almost worse in a way, not to, you know, denigrate musical theater, but, you know, it's musical theater has, I think, at this point in, you know, modern American history, probably a smaller reach than now, you know, stand-up comics do. And so, like, at the very least, like, you know, with regards to fascist musical theater, at least, like, it's still not as accessible to a general public as, like, you know, a fucking some guy standing in front of a mic doing his fifth special about how a trans person corrected him once and he's never going to forgive her for doing so.
It's not a very funny special. I watched it this morning.
Oh yeah. See, I have this thing with Chappelle where, you know, I remember him as he was, you know, it's like, I like to, you know, just remember Killing Them Softly and Chappelle's Show and everything, you know, everything after that, I'm like, nah, that's a different guy, you know? It's basically the Paul is dead theory, but for Dave Chappelle, like, I, like, look into Chappelle's pictures. Coming. I'm like, nah, he died in a car accident in 66, and they just replaced his ass.
I understand. I have a bit more leeway for him, and I have a slightly different read on some of those, you know, on the line between provocative, even offensive comedy and bad fascist comedy.
Sure,
but
sure.
The risk with someone like him is you just get so lazy. And now it's all about you and your controversies. And now you're just hiring your own supply. You're just recycling your fumes. You're just giving your audience what they think they want. And you're not actually you're losing what made you so great in the first place, which is, well, he's still got his storytelling ability, but you're losing your insight into anything worth having insight into.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you know, it's just like, I think what you want to do is do a podcast. I don't think you want, this doesn't need to be a special necessarily. But, you know, still shout out to him for, he did a show in Boston recently in which he...
That's exactly right.
Yeah, in which he yelled at someone who tried to heckle him about, you know, Israel or something. And he said, you know, he stood with the Palestinian people. And so because of that, I'm like,
Matt,
okay.
His space Jews joke from a couple of years ago. That's pretty fucking funny.
Oh, it's a great joke.
Have you heard that joke?
Oh, yes.
It's a fantastic joke.
So here's the thing.
So that's a case.
I watch
that's
clips.
A case where, yeah. You'll watch the clip. So that's a case where his, I don't give a fuck what anybody says about me. I'm going to just do whatever comes out of my joke book.
Yes. You know,
it's like you take the good with the often very bad and very lazy, or you don't take it at all. It's all good. But
yeah.
Anyway, you're saying that stand-up comedy, when it starts punching down and when it loses its taste for really taking the piss out of those who deserve to have the piss taken out of them.
Yeah. It can be,
another tool for just.
Right. Yeah. And I have the same kind of like a emotional reaction that you have to, you know, what happens with when musical theater is weaponized in that way, where I'm just, you know, I just look at it and I go like, you know, it's also bad because I think laughs reinforce a worldview sometimes for certain people. And that's not necessarily what a laugh is. And I think that, you know, that's a laugh is good for your ego, but it doesn't necessarily mean that what you're saying is relatable or correct in any way. You know, this idea, it's funny because it's true. It's like, that's not a thing. Like, things can be funny because they're also true. But also, there's a lot of false things that are hilarious. There's just...
That's just a logical fallacy. You could say that this particular joke is funny because it's true, but that doesn't mean that something is true because it's funny.
Right, exactly. And I think we have now tend to put comedians on a pedestal, and I think we need to remember that all of us are fucking stupid and trash, and you should not at all ever put a comedian on a pedestal. We are all degenerates, and you know, we are all just begging to be liked like children. So
and musical theater people are begging, musical theater people are begging to be told that we're special and talented. And
yes,
the thing that bugs me about it is that it's not going to be used for meanness so much as it's going to be used for like communal feeling good about ourselves when
in, yeah,
like, and just not So like self-congratulation is a big thing in musical theater, pushing people's buttons to make them feel like they're laugh, that like they're crying at the right moments and feeling the right things and so on and so forth, and not real and kind of flattering their own self-concept, which I mm-hmm. guess is what the two things we're talking about have in common. Anyway, I don't know how we got off on that.
Oh, it's fine. But... I enjoy getting into musical theater, and I'll be honest with you. All right, when I finally allowed myself to listen to Hamilton, I was like, this is pretty good. The music's good. I'm not gonna front. Like, I know I'm supposed to be like, this sucks, it's Schoolhouse Rock, and I'm like, no, it's kind of, some of those songs are fucking bangers though. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, but like, I'm not trying to be a lib or anything, but like, can motherfucker just like a cheesy ass song? Let me live.
Can a motherfucker just, you know, just be in the room where it fucking happens?
Where
sometimes?
It happens, you know?
Well, wait, yeah, wait for it. It's a great song. It's got lots of great stuff in it. I went through phases with it. At first, I wanted to hate it, and then I loved it, and then I saw it, and then I saw it again, and then I started to, like, listen to it closer, and more I listened to it after that, the less I liked it. Yeah. So I feel like my hate for it is both informed by love of its craft, but it's also well-earned because I went through the whole journey. I didn't skip to the end.
This is how I feel about Israel. That's exactly how I feel. It's very informed. You know, I went through this, you know, initially loved it, could do no wrong. Then I was like, oh, I don't know about that. Then I went on Birthright and I was like, I don't know, maybe Israel is good. Everyone keeps saying it is.
Fucking anyone who goes on Birthright has the right to hate Israel. I mean,
100%.
You did your fucking time.
They I did tried. It. They I did the thing. Give, I went they, to the thing. You said, "Oh, you can't know unless you come here." I knew. I came there, and I'm like, "Okay, I know now."
Now I know.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Speaking of video, speaking of music, we are going to end this podcast with this. and there's a
Were
chance
you
that this
me something from the Israeli Twitter. The Twitter account?
Oh, that's, well, yeah. I mean, the only thing I mostly just wanted to rant about, bring them home, okay. But I will play this one thing that they posted New Year's Eve.
Look at his face.
I know. What are they doing?
Okay, hold on. I gotta see his face again.
The face.
Like, okay, I'm gonna kiss her. I'm really.
I'm sorry, but like, don't make him do that face. Obviously, not. It's not funny that people were kidnapped, but why does he look like someone who just got turned? Like, he looks like he got rejected by Hamas. He looks like
that's right.
like, oh damn, man. Like, he looks like he's looking across the bar, and all of a sudden the girl he brought to the club is talking to some other dude, and that dude is wearing like keffiyeh, and he's just like, what the fuck?
Like, should we describe the visual for those listening to the
for yeah
the
for those
version?
Listening, I mean, it's a profile of a man. It was a man and a woman who were about to kiss. It was like New Year's Eve, 5, 4, 3, 2, and then she dissolves, and then it said
like for, something like something out of a, like a Harry Potter movie or something, or Lord of the Rings. Like, she just turns to ash and like,
I mean, it's straight up. I think it's
from the bottom up.
Yeah, it's what do you call it? It's like Avengers Endgame, like style, like,
yeah,
fucking
Thanos.
Thanos. Fucking snapped his fingers and kidnapped 200 people in Israel.
Yeah.
So
he still goes in for the kiss, but he sort of sees the dissolving coming, and he looks kind of vaguely like, oh fuck, not again. And
yeah, it does look like this has happened before.
He's like, fuck, why can't I catch a break? I've been cucked by Hamas. And he just starts to turn around towards the camera like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's a very bizarre reaction.
It is. And I'm sorry, but like, again, why to me, this is something I can look at and fucking laugh at, about, is that you are not trying to bring them home. Like, the fucking nerve of Israel and their propagandists to use the hostages as this pretext, when at this point you've made it abundantly clear that if it's between stopping killing mass Palestinians in Gaza and bringing them home, you choose killing. You choose killing all of the Palestinians, and you choose to put the hostages in harm's way. You don't give a shit. So you can make your fucking, you know, like dramatic fucking content to try to shame other people into not supporting a ceasefire, but it makes no fucking sense. You do not care about bringing them home.
But it's completely undramatic. These people don't look like they have any chemistry. No. They look like they were totally set up by two friends. He looks half pissed off, half relieved.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's so insulting. It's so trivializing. Like, imagine having a loved one actually taken from you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And basically, this and just the pain of that and the confusion of that, and this video turns that into like, Hamas wants all Jews to get no New Year's pussy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what, like, Hamas, they're trying to, it's in, like, their charter. Hamas,
it's to cock block. We must cock block the Jewish people. They must not get a nut.
No Nut November has turned into No Nut December. And there will be No Nut January.
Oh, you're making them sound Yiddish.
I know. I realized, you know, in the middle of it, I couldn't do the voice.
Well, that's better that we default to that.
Yes, we should always just, you know, like, what are you gonna? You don't need me to do an Arab voice. You get it. To end this podcast, I want to end with something just amazing, an amazing bit of Hasbara that has a little bit of a backstory that I'll get into. But this was sent to me by a friend online, and it is a video of what looks to be like a concert that happened in Israel. Excuse me. In which they are doing a cover of Learn to Fly by the Foo Fighters, but instead they're singing about bringing them home. And it is so it's essentially a parody song. It's like they Weird Al Yankovic'd Learn to Fly in order to do a song about Hamas. And I'm going to play a little bit of that for you right now. Says United Against Evil. You see some people clapping and playing bass.
You know what's funny about that?
What?
It has the same initials as United Arab Emirates.
It does.
Oh God.
Yep.
This time it's the horrible monsters.
From Hamas. They are filled with hatred and anger.
How many drummers are there? Are they like other drummers?
Yeah.
Fuck. That's such a great rhyme. The evil monsters from Hamas kill, burn, maim, slaughter children with their moms. That's supposed to rhyme with Hamas.
Their moms, Hamas. You know, it's a slant rhyme, but, you know, I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Weird,
you know,
right? Weird Al Yankovic, but make it morose, obtuse, and just no fun whatsoever. And a bunch of Israelis, and they're having so much fun. Look at them.
Oh yes, but it gets better once I explain the context. Humanity is now united.
Humanity is. Oh.
Fighting against the total evil of Hamas.
Pause that. I don't think they really want to be taking this humanity is now united angle on this particular moment in history.
That's the thing about.
You don't really want to be saying that majority rules in terms of how humanity is feeling about. This is so sad to watch. It really is.
Well, it gets better. But first, let me just finish this chorus. Ready to eliminate Hamas. So there's thousands of drummers. It looks like there's hundreds of drummers, hundreds of bass players, hundreds of guitar players out in a field, playing music. And you're like, what are all these Israelis doing? This is weird. Let me give you some background on this. So this is a video that was shared by Ella Travels Love on Twitter, which is, I guess, they're doing a bunch of, nice Hasbara. And it appears to be a bunch of Israelis having a concert called United Against Evil, in which they do a parody song of Learn to Fly. This video is fake. And so the real video is 1,000 musicians play Learn to Fly by Foo Fighters to ask Dave Grohl to come and play in, I don't know how to pronounce this, Cesena, Italy? Those are Italians. This is not something that happened in Israel.
Who overdubbed the vocals?
I don't know. Someone who hates Hamas. The actual video is this, and it's, they're just singing Learn to Fly, which is actually kind of awesome. That is great. They're united to get Dave Grohl to do a Foo Fighters concert in Cesena, wherever the heck Cesena is.
Look, When Kurt Cobain shot himself in 1994, I was in Israel. I was on kibbutz. Shit. And that made a bad situation even worse for me. But so I'm a Nirvana guy, right? Like Nirvana.
Me too.
Foo Fighters is a little after my time.
Yep.
But it is very. But those Italians begging Dave Grohl to come and bestow his rockness on them is very sweet. But I'm very confused now about. Come to think of it, listening to that Israeli version,
it sounded weird, right?
It sounded like kind of, when you try to create the sound of like a chorus by like recording yourself many, many times, the same voice or two voices.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly. I had to as I was listening, I was like, it's weird that this sounds like shit. But I didn't think about it. Yeah, like that sounds like dog shit. I think it is.
You wouldn't be able to hear that. Yeah, well, you wouldn't be able to hear that S.
Yeah.
So clearly, if it was recorded from these people live, like you just wouldn't.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
What's also fairly funny is if Israelis were forced to actually pronounce Hamas the way it's actually pronounced, which is Hemas or something like that.
Yeah.
But even just putting the emphasis, they wouldn't have a song. Because they need of Hamas.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful too that I had the same reaction you did, which is when I looked at this, I didn't even question whether or not these were Israelis. I was just like, it says a lot that I can look at a sea of Italians playing Foo Fighters, and I go like, oh yeah, those are Israelis. You know, I mean. I'm not trying to say, listen, I understand that 50% of the Jewish Israeli population of Israel is has some sort of, at this point, Mizrahi, ancestry. You know, there are a lot of Ashkenazis and Mizrahis living together. They have babies, and that's the thing. But I will say, they did, those Italians did not look that dissimilar. And I don't know if you could say that.
Israel is the Euro. Israel is like the Eurovision colony in the Middle East.
Yes.
To the extent that it, and then of course it has this largely overlooked Arab Jewish component to it, where the music.
Well, they're not overlooked if you need to use them in order to bolster the I don't know, the DNA credentials of
well, I think I think Dave Grohl should I think Dave Grohl should take his at this point geriatric rock band to Israel and set them up on the border, and it'll be them against Hamas. You can call it the Foo Fighters versus the Jew Fighters.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's see, you already got the branding done, Daniel. Foo Fighters v Jew Fighters. Get them together. I mean, who's not going to love it? Everyone, you know? We can all enjoy, you know, the power of rock music bringing us together or, you know, occasionally tearing us apart. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think Kurt's Ghost would love it very much, but he doesn't love it.
Yeah,
much.
I know. You know, listen, I know that people like Foo Fighters, and I allow that. That's fine. I've yet to listen to a Foo Fighters song that I didn't kind of feel was like what if Target made Nirvana?
It's like what Yasiin Bey, Mos Def said about Drake. It's like hip hop that you can shop to. You know,
yes,
it's
like, yes, yes.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, this is dope. This makes me want to check the discount aisle. Like Foo Fighters, it's totally inoffensive to me. And some of it's even kind of good, but it just never quite pays off.
It never hit with me. Yeah. I get that it's good. But I think
it's fine.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's fine. You can like it. Why do I have to
fight? I'm not going to fight the fighting of the Foo.
No. Yeah. Fight Foo.
Let them fight the Foo.
Yeah, someone's got to fight Foo. And if you are someone who's a Foo fighter, feel free to Foo fight. That's what I say. So anyways, in conclusion, beautiful, beautiful video, beautiful piece of Hasbara. Those were Italians, not Israelis. If you couldn't tell the difference, think about it. About why.
So some Israeli genius decided to culturally appropriate Italian bad taste to try to make bad hostage bara.
Very good. Oh, on that note, Daniel, thank you so much for once again gracing me over here at Bad Hasbara. Love you so much. Where can people find you? On the internet.
Well, first of all, the love is more than mutual. Thank you for having me, Matt. People can find me on the Twitters and on the Instas at Daniel B. Mate. That's M-A-T-E. B for Brooklyn. Although my middle name is actually Benjamin. And yeah, walkwithdaniel.com for my mental chiropractic service and danielmate.com for all my musical theaters. So you can go find out how I'm trying to keep that art form from sliding into fascism and mediocrity.
That's right.
While not getting produced at all.
Hey, listen, if I had money, I would produce your musicals. I'm sure true of literally anyone who's friends with you and the family with you. We would all do it if we only could. See, this is Daniel, have you considered having rich friends?
Well, you know what? I went ahead and wrote a best-selling book with a best-selling author named my dad.
And oh, yeah.
As those royalties start to come in, I'm starting to think that...
You might be rich now.
Well, I might be, if not rich, but in a position to fund my art in such a way that I don't need to be doing the banging my head against the wall asking, when is the world going to discover me? Kind of thing. Like, it's, you know, what else is financial stability for if not helping others, but also making your non-lucrative dreams come true? So
right, exactly. Yes,
so that is part of the plan. So I shouldn't be complaining. I'm in a very, very fortunate place, but you know, it is, the musical theater is very dear to me, and I've been writing it for going on 15 years now, and got a lot of stuff online. People can check it out.
Yeah, well, I'm going to post links to all of it in the show notes. Check it all out. And Daniel, once again, thank you so much for coming on. The door at Bad Hasbara is open to you literally 24/7. I love you, Doug.
I love it. You'll be seeing me coming through plenty more times then. Yeah, I love you too. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. One day I'm going to dig a tunnel. It'll go from Brooklyn to Los Angeles, and we will meet together in that tunnel and podcast.
But we're going to get our signals crossed. And so, like, you'll think you're coming to me, and I'll think I'm coming to you, and we'll meet right underneath Kansas City, and we'll be like, ha-ha, jokes on both of us.
Yeah, I know. Now we have to be in Kansas City.
Actually, gross. Kansas City, Missouri is pretty dope. I like
pretty
Kansas
nice.
City.
Yeah. Patreon.com/Frogcast. And also, badhasbar@gmail.com for all of your questions, comments, concerns. Please feel free to send me any Hasbara that you have seen that is funny, that is sad, that is interesting, that will inspire a good conversation. badhasbara@gmail.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, everyone else, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, live long and prosper, because you were doing that. I still don't have a sign out. From the river to the sea, Tuesday nights, kids eat free. Jumping jacks was us. Krav Maga us. All karate us. Taking Molly us. Michael Jackson us. Yamaha keyboards us. Jar Jar Binks on us. Andor was us. Heath Ledger Joker us. Endless Red Six us. Happy Meals was us. Invented all that shit.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.